Would you remain standing for our reading of the gospel as I invite Ariola to come up and read? She's going to be reading from Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34.
Good morning, church. My name is Ariola. The reading today is titled The Parable of the Mustard Seed. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Ariola. You may be seated. The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like. I'm going to add a little bit to our scripture today. The parable that comes right before the one that Ariola read so well for us goes like this. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground and night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk and then the head, and then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come." The kingdom of God is like. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus uses numerous parables to help his followers understand the difference between the kingdom of our world and the kingdom of God. Unfortunately, most of these parables went over the heads of the followers of Jesus. Most of them had no idea what he was talking about, and the same is true for us most of the time. Today, we are given a parable about gardening and seeds. Gardening and seeds. And I am going to be the first one to profess that I do not have a green thumb. If you give me a plant and it lasts 2 weeks, that's a miracle. That is a miracle. I do not have a green thumb. Anytime I try to grow anything, it typically does not go well, except one time. Several years ago, when our boys were really small, we lived in Garwood, New Jersey, and we came home from church one September afternoon, and our boys were playing in the backyard when something orange caught their eye over the fence, and on closer examination, they realized that a full-grown, perfectly sized, bright orange pumpkin had grown on the other side of our fence. And there was just one pumpkin on one vine, and it was sandwiched between our chain-link fence and a brick wall that they had built for the 55-plus townhouses behind us. So it had this little bit of space, and this pumpkin grew there. And we were baffled. How in the world did this pumpkin get there? We didn't plant it. We definitely didn't fertilize it or water it. How in the world did this happen? And then I think Steve reminded me that last Halloween, at the end of the season, he had taken our pumpkin and thrown it over the fence. And somehow the seeds in that pumpkin had taken root. But this wasn't the first rotted pumpkin that we'd thrown over that fence. And we'd thrown several rotted pumpkins in our garden beds around the house. But for some reason, this pumpkin grew. And it was perfect. It was the most beautiful pumpkin you've ever seen. And not only was it perfect, but it lasted 3 months. We found it in the middle of September. It did not get soft until almost to Christmas. This was our miracle pumpkin, we called it. It was as if the gardener from our first parable, allowing seeds to sprout and grow, but didn't know how it happened. This was our parable of the perfect pumpkin. The first parable in our scripture reading likens the kingdom to the process of gardening. And the gardener can put the seed in the ground, but he really can't do anything about its growing. In fact, the gardener has next to nothing to do with the seed growing in that parable. He sleeps. He sleeps through the whole process of sprouting and maturation. The kingdom of God is like a sleeping gardener. Or perhaps the kingdom is like a gardener who slept through the growing season but wakes up for the first harvest. And then Jesus goes on to describe the kingdom of God as if it were a small mustard seed. And the mustard seed, as the kids saw this morning, is so incredibly small that it is hard to believe that it could grow into anything. But it does. It grows into the largest of all the garden plants. The mustard bush, it actually looks more like a tree. A mustard bush can grow from 6 to 20 feet in height. It can have a feet spread in width of 20 feet. This is not an average bush. The mustard tree or the mustard bush, it's not just about the growth of this seed, but that this small seed will end up providing for so many other parts of creation. This small seed will become shade and shelter for the birds. It will provide sustenance for those in need. So these two parables use the imagery of passivity combined with this fantastic growth. And when I hear these passages, all I can think about is God's grace. God's incredible grace. We don't get it for the work we do. Grace is freely given. It's funny, I laugh because I'm looking out here. The pastor I introduced in the beginning of worship, he's the chair of the Board of Ordained Ministry. So we serve on that together. We also served for many years on the district committee on ministry up in Palisades. And the first question that Tom would always ask, tell me about Wesleyan's understanding of grace. So I just think it's funny that you're here today. But grace, this is what is happening in these parables. This is what Jesus is talking about. Grace. Grace is given freely. We don't earn it. It's a gift. It's given to us. It grows. Our faith grows when we are able to rest in that knowledge of this gift, when we truly trust that God loves us deeply, a trust so deep that we can sleep like the gardener. A trust so deep that we can sleep without anxiety, which is much more useful than fussing over that little seed, dousing it with pesticide, repotting it, and worrying anxiously whether it has enough sun or enough water. No, that's not what the gardener does in the parable today. The kingdom is like this sleepy, restful trust. Trusting in God. It's not the frenetic busyness of trying to earn God's love, of doing works that'll somehow get us closer to God's love. In fact, it's better if we sleep through the whole thing, snug and safe, resting like babies in our mother's arms. Yesterday morning, I was blessed to spend some time with the parents of Theophilus. And the three-month-old that we're going to be baptizing a little bit later in our service, he slept the whole meeting. He slept in his daddy's arms. He didn't say one word. His eyes were closed the whole time. And I spent time talking with his parents about God's grace. We talked about God's grace, the fact that God's grace is already working in and through this child before he even realizes it. God's grace is working in his life through his mom and dad. God's grace is working in his life through his godparents. And God's grace will work in and through his life, through all of you, through Sunday school teachers and youth leaders, through mission trips. He will learn about God's love. He will learn about what it means to be a Christian. God's grace is already working in the life of Theophilus. And he slept soundly as we talked about this. And I was reminded once again that grace is not about striving. Grace is not about striving. Grace is about resting in the assurance of God's love. Resting in the assurance of God's love. So at the end of today's passage, we're reminded that most people that heard Jesus teach had trouble understanding what the parables meant. And so Jesus would explain them in detail to the disciples when they were alone. But the truth is, the disciples still didn't get it most of the time. And we know that because the scripture that comes immediately after today's reading, which is actually supposed to be today's reading, the scripture that comes next in Mark 4 is the passage where Jesus is on a boat with his disciples. So Jesus is teaching, and they get onto a boat, and what does Jesus do? He's exhausted, and he goes to sleep. And as Jesus is sleeping, a storm comes up, and they're terrified. They're on the verge of drowning, and Jesus is sleeping like the gardener. And they can't understand how Jesus can sleep in the midst of the storm. And he cannot understand why they're afraid. He says, "Have you no faith? Didn't we just talk about this? Didn't we just talk about trusting that God is already taking care of things? Why are you so fearful? Where is your faith?" It is incomprehensible that they would be fearful. Jesus feels it's incomprehensible, and for them, it's incomprehensible that Jesus would be calm, that Jesus could sleep through the storm. So what are we to do, brothers and sisters? What are we called to do? Is Jesus asking us just to sleep? The point isn't to be lazy in our faith. That is not the point of today's parable. Jesus is cautioning his followers from being so preoccupied with doing faith that they fail to trust in God's ability to make giant bushes out of tiny seeds. They are so busy doing the stuff of faith that they have lost the first love. They have lost their faith in God. And I see this over and again in my own ministry. In the times when I'm trying to do things, when I'm trying to get things done and running around all over the place, those are not the most fruitful times of ministry. The most fruitful times of ministry for me are the times when I am silent. The times when I'm listening for what God has to say next. The times when I slow down and listen for that still voice. When I trust that God's plan and God's vision are bigger than my own. So today we have been blessed. We've been blessed by the children of our faith community, and God's grace is being poured out on all of you. I hope you can feel that today, that God's grace is being poured out by these children, that God's grace is being poured out as they share God's word and lead us closer to what the kingdom of God might look like. And I know that God has amazing plans for each of these children, and I am so thankful for the parents and the mentors and the Sunday school teachers and for all the people that will nurture them and pour grace into their lives before they even realize about God's love. They are learning this through you and me, through each child that is here today. We are given the promise of God's grace working in powerful ways, and we don't have to do the work. We just need to rest in the knowledge that God is already working in and through us, through you and me, through each child here, through the youngest. God's kingdom will be revealed. Today, in the act of baptizing Theophilus, we are proclaiming that God's work of salvation continues. And I want you to hear that. When I baptize Theophilus, we are saying that God's salvation continues in and through this child. When God's word is planted in the lives of these small children, we can't begin to imagine all the ways that God will shine light and transform our world. You see, the good news, brothers and sisters, the good news is that God is working powerfully already in the life of this church. God is working powerfully already in the lives of these children and our ministries. Oh, he is out. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is like this. Amen. Amen.